July 14th, 2019, it's a Watch for Pedro show. Watch for Pedro show. Happy Sunday to everybody. Brother Matt, not available. But we will see him Thursday, hopefully. And, there's some kind of whistling over there. What I'm saying is I'm here in my pad in Pedro, but I'm not man alone. Because through the wonder of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software, I got Mr. Dan Francie from, he's talking to me from Brooklyn, New York today. Welcome aboard, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay, we start off the show with Dahomey Dance, John Coltrane, and then from you, Dan, we had 1 second, little song. It's longer than a second, but not a lot of seconds. Mm-hmm. What I want to know from you, Dan, what is your earliest musical recollection?
Maybe something like listening to the Beatles anthology that my dad had with my neighbors and jumping on the beds.
So this was in your bedroom?
Yeah, me and my brother shared a bedroom, and there were 2 beds, and we jumped from bed to bed.
Oh, not bunk beds.
No, they used to be, but we took them apart.
And yeah, too many fall downs?
I don't know. I think we just, I think you could just do that with them, and we decided.
Yeah, because all the cats I knew, like in Navy housing and shit, that had bunk beds, top dude took a lot of blows.
Yeah.
I know Watt would have too, because I'm restless. In fact, I ended up just conquering, and I still do, I just conquer the deck, because they roll all over the fucking place. Yeah, it hurt my face too much. So you're jumping on the bed. So, and this is in New Jersey?
Yeah, Wyckoff, New Jersey.
Okay. And so your pop, now is your pop, does he play too, or is he just a listener?
He plays. He kind of got me into it.
What do you play, Dan?
Guitar.
Okay. So there was a guitar and a pad.
Yeah, he had a Tele from, I think, like 71, and a Martin acoustic from like 69 or something, and then
He must have had an amp for the Tele, right?
Yeah, all this shit was actually his brother's that he gave to him because his brother crashed his car. I think he had a Music Man amp and a Ampeg amp.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, his brother, your uncle, crashed his car and gave him this stuff, but your pop knew how to play it?
I don't know. I think maybe he started then. I'm not even certain.
Okay. Just curious, what about your mom?
She doesn't really play.
More a listener, right? Okay.
Yeah.
What was the first record you bought for yourself?
You see, I knew you were going to ask this because I listened to the show. And I was hanging
sometimes
out with
I forget
dad
to ask, sister. Though, Dan. Sometimes I forget to ask.
I think it was Puff Daddy, No Way Out. And I'm not sure because my older brother and my older sister, like, we shared everything. So they had, like, records in the house. I don't know who brought home what. But I remember in second grade, my friend heard Puff Daddy in the family, No Way Out, and he went home and he called me and he goes, did that really just happen? Like, were they actually cursing? So that was definitely one of the earliest, maybe the first one I got myself.
It's trippy because I remember this movie performance and there's Last Poets.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of said that to myself when I first heard that.
Like, we were like, oh, they did.
Yeah, maybe we don't hire this band for the wedding. Or maybe we do. Last Poets, incredible band. And a trippy movie, too, performance. There's a weird Rolling Stone song on there, too, Memo from Turner, that wasn't really on albums. You were talking about school. What about school? Did you do the band shit, like a choir or a marching band? Or?
I did a lot of shit like that. I did, like, fourth grade, you choose an instrument. You played recorder and auto harp before that, which is great.
Yeah, people, recorder ain't a tape recorder. It's kind of a plastic flute.
Right, yeah.
And then auto harp was a strumming thing, but you push buttons to make the chords.
That was cool. They had a few of those in the school. I don't know why or if that was normal.
Do you know there was an electric one, Dan?
My friend has one. Yeah. Like later on, I found one.
Do you know the famous one? The famous one was used by Rocky Erickson on his solo record, The Evil One. There's a guy playing, I think it's going through a fuzz tone.
Oh, man.
So it acts like the kind of rhythm guitar.
Yeah, that's great.
And then Greg Turner for Angry Samoans, he actually found this guy, the same guy who played it, and used him on one of his records.
Oh.
Wow, ain't that a trip. So you did recorder and auto harp. Did you move on to another instrument?
Then you do, like, fourth grade, you do an instrument. I did drums, because my brother did drums already.
What, do you have a trap kit at home? Do you have a trap kit at home?
He had a snare, I think. I think maybe around the time I also played, maybe he got a kit, like, around then. And then there was a kit in the house ever since, maybe, like, So
what were you
France,
doing
like
in
that.
The school band? Were you doing like classical music or like the jazz band?
I don't know. It was like the orchestra. The main. There's only one of them. I guess it was like.
Okay.
Classical.
Yeah, yeah. So you're like yeah. timpani and triangle and stuff like yeah. Snare. You
yeah, they didn't even have that much stuff because that was like middle school, and then or no, that was elementary school, and then middle school they had more stuff. But the whole time middle school, I was doing choir.
Oh, okay.
Because I had found the bass, so I said, "Oh, I don't need the
bass for me." Dan, how did you find the bass?
So my dad played guitar. My brother started playing drums. I was like, "All right, I'm gonna get." My dad got me a guitar in kindergarten, actually, acoustic. I learned a couple songs, but it didn't stick.
Yeah.
And then my brother's like, we have to start a band. So I was like, okay, I'll get a guitar. And then while I was looking for a guitar, like, I found out what a bass was. Like, I didn't know there was another thing. And it was different. It was, like, different than my dad. Our other friend, Steve, already played guitar. So I was like, maybe the bass is my thing. And that was,
Very happening. Very happy.
Fifth grade, I think. Yeah.
I didn't find out about till like junior high, and I didn't even fucking know what it was. I played a guitar with four string. D Boone's mom just said, "You're gonna play." Look, Dan, I want to play Stereotype here.
Treated as family, to find yourself unconcerned. Painted piano, also seven years of plans. You're at the new age of someone's papers. Say this world was real. Order, stay, between waves and calms, and flying to lasers, did not know the law, and one more betrayal, and that's the big cause, such a beautiful thing. The candor of the dream, before we were born, an elegant morn, sails the last dance for me. What's down your fears, but aching to be free.
you're dead. But please come back to life. Come back to life.
Watch the people show. We heard from Dan Francia, Stereotype, which I think probably anybody but a fucking seaman head could relate to. The invisible transvestite peddling warship experience with Homecoming. Pat English after that, brand new. I think Poughkeepsie, or near there, up the river from Manhattan. Pat English with Action Painting. Ex-postcard bass player. And John DeFries with a demo of Static, from the late, great Agit Pop, and actually played with Pied English in Postcard. Brand new from Now Leaves out of South London, the Mess Aesthetics, that's Joe Lally and Brandon there from Fugazi. Crowds and Power, maybe a current theme. Guide by Voices, Cold Cold Hands. Always a current theme. Brand new from Unlux, Revenge of the Seas. The Mayan Revolutionary, hell yeah, last album under that title, Too Close for Comfort. And finally, Dan Francia with Come Back to Life. Okay, Dan. What about the trip where, you already kind of mentioned, your brother said, we got to do a band. We got all the parts for a band. Let's make a band. So the first band you do... is in your own pad with your own family?
Yes, me and my brother and our friend Steve. And we were called Sid, Stevie, and Dan.
Okay, so your pop didn't play in the band. Okay, okay.
No, I played in the band with him later, though. But, Mike, the Mesthetics?
Yeah.
You just played?
Yeah.
I just saw him, like, 2 days ago.
That's good. Yeah, they've been doing gigs. Joe Lally wrote me. He's looking for a 3/4 scale bass. He says it's starting to hurt his hands.
Holy shit, that's what I'm doing. I don't like the short scale. I played your signature, I played a bunch of short scales.
Oh, no, you know what? He did say short scale. So we're talking 30
inch. 3/4, though.
3/4 is like
Stanley Clark and those are
3/4 is a 32 inch. A regular Fender's 34 inch.
Right, that's mine. I play a Sterling.
Okay. And then they're staying, they made a short scale, it's 30 inch. Okay. Now, those Stanley Clark, those, Alembics and stuff, they got big old necks because they got a lot of frets. But they are 32. They are a little shorter scale. But now I record with 34 inches, but the gigs starting around 2000, 1999, I started hurting bad at gigs. And so I had to move to the shorter ones. But when you're recording, or the way I record, I sit down, so it don't matter.
I'm trying to get my hands on a 32. I've never played one, and I'm thinking the same thing, some longevity issues and, like, I never even played one, but not even, there's inexpensive ones too, I've seen.
Of course.
32. Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of the in the middle. I say either do the short or do the long. And the way I do it is live short, recording long. You can't hear the flabbiness live that much anyway, but you kind of can on recordings. Now let's get back to your, what was this first band with Steve and your brother? What's your brother's name?
Okay, yeah.
What's your brother's name?
His name's Ian, so it's Steve, Ian, and Dan.
Yeah, what'd you call the band?
Sid.
Ah! Acronym. Yeah, it's an acronym.
Or some shit, yeah.
Okay. And also, now those English guys, they spelled it with a Y, huh? Like Sydney.
Like Sid Barrett.
Yeah, but you know what? His real name was Roger, but they already had a Roger in the band. Like, have you read a fucking Dick Lloyd's book yet? Like, Richard L. says, you know, we already got a Richard. And Dick Lloyd's like, yeah, I read like two days. I recommend it big time. Combustible something. And he's like, he says Jimmy fucking punched him out. I mean, he's got some stories. Anyway, he said, yeah, this band's got two Richards. Like, he was going to change his fucking name. No way. Okay, so did this band do any gigs?
We played, school stuff. Like, we would play the Battle of the Bands or, like...
Yeah, talent show.
Yeah, well, one time they just had us play in... It was a homecoming in middle school, and they had us play just in the gym.
Okay.
And, see, I don't know if we played anything outside of school. We probably played like three times. But that kind of band kind of evolved with people from home a lot. There would be people in and out of a band very like similar to that for many years.
But I'm curious about that first band, Dan. Did you guys copy songs off records or did you start writing material right away?
Oh, it was definitely like Nirvana, Nevermind, Blink-182.
So you're copying records. Yeah, that's what me and Dean
Green Day.
And, you know. So, Dan, when did you start writing songs?
From the very beginning, though, that we always had original stuff that would sound a lot like what we were covering. And then right away, pretty much, and I had a four-track because my dad had one lying around, and we were making demos, like, right as the band started, basically. I was always a part of it, and... end up engineering a lot of stuff and just kind of kept doing that, not because I want to be an engineer, but because, like, we were always making records.
You're talking about engineering a four-track.
Yeah, yeah, and then I ended up getting a Pro Tools thing. But
computer, okay.
Yeah, at the beginning it was
After high school? Did you go to college for music?
Not at first, but I didn't go to college for anything at first, and then I went to community college. I went to Santa Monica Community College for a bit.
You came out to Cali.
Yeah, because, like, all my friends left for college, and I was just home, like, 18 years old. Like, I didn't do good in high school because I thought I was a bass player already, basically. So I'm not going to college. And then me and my friend were like, all right, fuck this. We could go to any community college in the country and just, like, enroll. Like, you don't have to be good at school. So we went all the way as far as we could go, pretty much, and then...
That's right.
But that didn't last very long.
The end of the I-10. Well, yeah, not the econo, I would say.
And I started taking vocal lessons there, and I was in the choir there at Santa Monica College, and I started, like...
Oh, bitchin'.
Getting into music courses there, for sure.
And well, you know, also on the campus there, they got a fucking radio station, KCRW.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think they just moved off campus, but they were there for years and years and years.
Yeah, there's some history there. Definitely a lot of people went through there and stuff.
And so what happened? How long in California?
I did one semester there, and then I came back, basically because, like, my band, my girlfriend and stuff, and just, like, whatever, and, like, I was so young, I couldn't even go out. I was 18, so, like, and I was at community college, so it wasn't as easy to meet people. I was like, I'll go back. And then it's kind of a long story, but I tried to get into NYU, and they didn't let me in. And they're like, come back in a year after you take some music courses. So I did that, and one of those semesters I went back.
Where'd you do it, Dan?
Bergen Community College in New Jersey.
Okay.
And then they had this program, like Community College Opportunity Program, where they gave me a scholarship and helped me get into NYU. And then I took 2 years there doing like music engineering stuff.
So the side of like capturing music.
Yeah, it's called music technology. It's mostly like music production, but
yeah, but you're not learning harmony. You're not learning, you know, the kind of.
No, it actually was all that. It was a normal music.
Oh, really?
Bachelor's degree with all the performance people and everything, and then we also took like technical.
Oh, okay, classes. Okay, that makes sense because I think having too much a divide between the technical and the artistic. Yeah, I think people can relate to each other if they have a little bit of knowledge on both sides of it, right? I think the old days of you being just a pure artist or a pure technician, those are kind of, it kind of limits you.
You had to get in by playing an instrument, and there was another program, the Clive Davis thing, which was just like production. It wasn't the music stuff, and like, I don't know, people didn't seem to get as much out of that, but whatever.
Well, what I found out about school, and Greg Ginn told me this a long time ago, you get out of it, but you probably put into it.
True.
And here's the other thing. I mean, this is the whole point of my fucking third opera. You're never out of the classroom. Life's a fucking classroom.
You know, that's where I first saw you. You were opening for Dinosaur Jr. at the Auto Bar during that tour right before you recorded that.
Yeah, that was Missing Man, but we weren't doing Hyphenated Man yet. But I like that. Yeah. You're talking Baltimore.
Yeah.
Jay, just made a record with Jay and Georgie. And a poet from Toledo called The Unknown Instructors. Yeah, the fourth installment.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
And now, I just heard from Jay. He's got a rock camp.
What?
And he invited Kevin. Yeah, you can learn guitar from Jay and Kevin. You know, Bloody Valentine. And I said, somewhere in West Mass, I think.
For like kids or for like anybody?
I think anybody. We're all kids in a way. Just different numbers attached to it. So I want to see how this worked out, okay? Your schooling.
Okay.
What happened?
Oh, yeah. So that got over with, and I learned a lot. I met like a bunch of people I was in bands with for years and like started record labels with and play shows with to this day. And all that shit, but I never actually like learned how to read music that well. And like you were saying, what you put into it, I got a lot out of it. But I was only there for 2 years, and it was really like challenging for me. I wasn't used to working that hard at school. And but I made it through. And some crazy shit happened. Like, you know, API, the recording gear, you probably
of course
worked on some. Yeah, of course, yeah. That guy. He was teaching everyone electronics, Saul Walker, this, like, legendary guy. But it was over everybody's head. Like, nobody could follow this guy. And shit like that was happening all the time. I was like, oh, God, I'm scared to even be here.
Yeah. Intimidating.
But it was good. It was good. It all worked out. And I got a lot out of it. Yeah.
Okay, when that ends, what do you do?
Oh, okay, so I took out an extra, like, $6,000 on all my loans I have from going there and stuff, and I bought a computer with a new interface, and I was like, I'm never getting a job again, I'm a musician, like, started making some albums, pressing them to vinyl, like, losing all kinds of, money, like, I'd press, like, 1,000 vinyl, everyone's like, don't do it, all those kind of mistakes you make in the beginning, and ended up, you know, like, very soon after Zine to get a 9-to-5 and been working ever since, but just playing in bands as well.
On the side, okay. So you like compressed your whole fucking thing into this little shit.
Yeah, made the label and all that shit. And but now I try not to do that. Now, you know, I
try to put things up on the band camp, right?
That too, yeah. Or, you know, if I was going to do it by myself, I'd probably just do a tape nowadays, but.
Cassette tape?
Yeah.
They're coming back, huh?
I don't know. It's one of the cheaper ones, and you get the download code. And it's
guys,
still...
from all the tours I've done, I've got like 10,000 sitting in these racks because that's how you listen to music on tour 30 years ago.
What do you got in the band these days? A tape player or what?
Well, no, you put the iPod through the fucking USB connect. And there's
right.
8,000, so I got 400 John Coltrane.
Right.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour there, Dan. Hold on for hour two. It's July 14, 2019 edition. Special guest Dan Francie. Hold it tight for hour two. July 14, 2019 is the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show. Watch for Pedro show. We start the second hour off with For All Your Love by Dan Franci. What's your process for songwriting? What do you start with, Dan? A music, lyrics, style, what?
Usually like a bass something, bass idea.
So it's a music. It's a music.
Yeah, yeah. The lyrics, I've never been much of a lyric person, but sometimes I get in the mood for that. Usually when I'm reading something, I could get inspired by that, but mostly I like to write the more musical part.
Yeah, believe it or not, I always start with the title because it gives me focus.
Yeah, I like a concept. I guess it's kind of similar. I can't really be like, I'll just keep playing. I don't know what's good.
No one I talk to, Dan does it that way. Most people come up with the music, then they fit words.
Yeah.
You know who's different is a front man. He usually comes up with words. After For All Your Love, we had the Healers out of Illinois with Near Nothing. Then Dardo with Agent. I think that's a concept album. Eiko Ishibashi out of Japan with Mr. Jim O'Rourke, Borderline and Shadow. Out of Cleveland, X_X with Transmography. The Frantics with You're Ill. I think the name of the album is My Old Man's a Goddamn Alcoholic. And then finally, the Gold Mines out of Japan with Double Vision 2. I should have put those together. Some lame sequence and a lot. So do you make demos?
Demos?
Like an idea. Because
on my phone all the time. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm wondering, you play a lot of your own shit on your records, right?
Yeah, pretty much, like,
because demos are usually to teach other people, but demos can also for memory and stuff, yeah.
Sometimes when you're doing a more of an improv thing or you're working on a song and you demo it, then you learn a little something from it, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I could use that.
Okay.
Like working with my friend Ed Kukin, who played drums on a lot of it.
Sure.
When we were first kind of getting the ideas together. And then I go home and I'd be like, wow, that sounds like better than I thought. This is pretty good. Use that.
So are you a guy who's got your leash and then you're humming little melodies into it?
Yeah. I mean, more so when I was in the middle of doing the album and I haven't been writing that much since. But I have some more ideas I'm coming up with. But, yeah, I was going crazy on my phone, humming little things and thinking I was going to forget every idea I had, like at work and stuff. And
what about collabs?
I love collabs. Well, there's 37 people on the album.
Yeah. So I was wondering, that's why I was asking you about this demo process. Is it sometimes to show the other cats, or is it just for your benefit?
Oh, definitely. Well, when I showed the other cats for this one particularly, like, I would have the basic tracks done, usually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And people would come over not even ever hearing any of it. Like,
right,
start
right.
From scratch. Yeah.
So first impression.
Yeah, there's a lot of editing and a lot of that stuff I couldn't use.
Because it's just going for it for the first time, right?
People would do multiple takes, I guess, if we were like...
Right, but it's not like, here's the tune, I'll see you in a month, go study up a part.
Only every once in a while I'd be like, hey, you want to like sing on this? You just take it and come back to me when you like wrote lyrics and stuff like that. That happened.
Oh, so you had outside word writers.
Yeah, my roommate Luke, he's in his band Bueno. He did like the second to last track and so I put him as like a credited him as a co-writer on that. So things like that happen. But I've been in a lot of other bands too where there was various amounts of collaboration and there being like leaders. Well, you were saying, like, have you ever been in a band with your dad? I was in his band for like 5 years or something.
Wow.
Speed the Plow, who were friends with the Feelies. And
That's right.
We're in bands together and all this stuff. And that's how I ended up, you know, knowing about the Feelies, and then I ended up recording their last album. I think I told you this at a show once back then, and you're like, oh, shit. I love those guys.
Well,
so
no, it's the truth, because you got to understand, Dan, where I come from, there wasn't a mixing of generations like now. Like, for example, you asked me about Dick Watt tour. This you know, Raul now's got a daughter, Soph, right? Him and Paloma's got little Soph, so he can't tour. Uh-huh. So I'm bringing this cat who's just a couple months short of 40 years younger than me.
I noticed that. Yeah,
this shit didn't happen in the old days. it's a whole different thing. Here, I want to play Can't Forget, okay? For people, show you heard Dan Francis doing "Can't Forget." After that, brand new from Galaxy Ferns from out in the desert here. In Between Dreams, Speed the Plow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of which, we got some words about this. We were talking off-air, people. You're going to hear in just a moment. Nosy from DMF, Frog Dog with the Bee Sting, and finally Dan Francie with Planet Transit. Yeah, talk about Speed the Plow gigs and people seeing what they see.
People have mentioned to me how weird it is that, like, I'll be playing with older people, like almost like as if it was an accomplishment that people didn't see often, or like when members of Speed the Plow played in my group, the Dan Francie band, to do some of the solo EPs.
Yeah.
And I bring up these gigs in Brooklyn where it's all young people, and
you have some less younger people.
Yeah.
You know where I first saw that was when Raymond Pettibone would bring me to see the old Beboppers, Elvin Jones, Mr. Ray Brown, Cecil McBee, Sam Rivers, Max Roach. Mm-hmm. These guys couldn't pay guys, right? They got the young guys right out of college.
Oh yeah, you said all the time.
This is what I was seeing in the early '80s, right? I was seeing, and sometimes it wasn't too good. These guys weren't that, you know, the infamous Buddy Rich tapes, okay? But sometimes, you know, but the idea of Robbie Coltrane, first time I saw him play was in Max Roach's band. Marcellus, you know, on the Bone was with Max Roach. And kind of a mentor in a trippy way, you know? And I never saw that shit with rock and roll.
Yeah, I just saw Stanley Clarke at the Blue Note maybe last year, all young cats are shredding.
Yeah.
And
so why can't they move over to the other kinds of let the freak flag fly music world, right?
Yeah, well, Dick Watt Tour.
Dick Watt Tour 2019. Yeah. And then with Tom Watson, this makes 20 years I've been playing with Tom Watson.
Oh, he's great. Tom Watson goes back to
a band called even before Slovenly, there was a band called Toxic Shock that D. Boone put on a gig with them opening. You know, Tom's Manhattan Beach, about 17 miles from here, and he's about 5 years younger. But in a way, Tom's almost my closest link, who I still play with, to the old days. It's pretty incredible. Yeah. But still open for a guy, yeah, big man, just turned 22. So, in a way, it's almost a political statement, I feel.
Yep.
You know, why should music have to have these kind of limitations about either genre, or which is a bullshit word, or gender, which is kind of squirrely and whatever, and then ageist, like racist. Huh? So, instead of just talking about trying to make a positive example out of it. But that's bitching that in a parallel universe, you were doing the same thing with your fucking pop and those Felix people. Which, you know, Bill and Glenn, and I dig them very much.
Yeah, they, I always tell them I told Glenn, hey, I'm going to be on Watts Radio Show. He's like, oh, this is fucking great. He always told me, he's like, yeah, just email him. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I'm not going to email Watt. He's like, oh, yeah, just get in contact with him. I'm like, what?
That's the way it happened in the old days. Well, we didn't have the email, but wow. You live in Pedro? You guys are going to try to do a punk gig in Pedro? Yeah, do you want to open? That's how we met the Black Flag guys. We end up SSTOO2. We didn't know those guys.
Yeah.
That's the way it happened. Crazy. When you got a scene that's open enough, and it's usually kind of rare thing. But look, just because I never step in stone. I thought if it was good enough for those old days, why can't it be good for these days? So what? Like, I got in, or whatever, you know, I got in the boat with fucking the flag guys, and what, I just slammed the hatch behind me? No, so Glenn, is Bill still in Florida?
Yeah, he's in Florida.
But they're absolutely right, because, you know, in those days, our scene was so small, you know, of course. But what was it called? Fosse Law was one side, and then they had the other drummer man then, before Anton.
Yeah, and the other bass player.
Other bass player, too, that's right. It was the other bass player. They did have Anton. Raised eyebrows. We're at the end of hour 2, 2019, July 14th. This is why Peter's so special guest, Dan Francis. Hold tight for hour 3! July 14th, 2019, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show. Thank you. Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Dan Francia doing Fuck It, Forgiveness. And then Fofum, which was I think this band did one gig, and this is the prac for that one gig. And Teenage Mothers, there's Dirk Vandenberg singing there and doing percussion. He took the photograph for Double Nickels on the Dime. After that was Crane, Timmy. He was a bass player in Dirk's band called Tragicomedy that New Alliance put out. Another Umbrella, Zesty Calls. That's got the late, great Richard Derrick along with Crane. Feral and the Underground after that with Yagoda's Dream. And finally, Plutonium Farmers with Smokestack. Dan Francia here talking about his journey through music.
Plutonium Farmers, is that where I think it is from Austin?
Absolute.
I stayed at that guy's house.
That happens. Shit like that happens, Dan.
Back in 2011, I think it was my first tour, and they gave me the record. I still got it. It's a crazy record.
Yeah, yeah. But if you got a crazy record, it might get played on the Watt from Pedro show. Well, you know what? If you got a Mersh record, probably ain't going to get played on the Watt from Pedro show. If it's weird, you got a good chance. And
that's cool. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the Gears, they had an incredible lyric, right? Don't be afraid to pogo. Don't be afraid to relate. If it wasn't for this kind of music, you wouldn't be in this place. Inspiration.
Who is that, the Germs?
The Gears. Kind of like, they both start with G's, but a little different.
Okay, yeah.
And it was some of the guys from the Controllers, some of the guys from the Drivers, I think. Dave Drive, okay. Drummer. A big influence on Kay, she told me. Dave Drive, her playing drums, learned her how to be better bass. Yeah, because some people, they think that the bass guitar, and maybe you can relate to this, it's kind of like a guitar. Even though it's got strings and frets and shit, thank you, Leo Fender, it's actually more like a drum in some ways.
Yep. It
really is. It's a trippy thing, man. For sure, it's goddamn grout. Now, that makes for great politics, too, because you look good making the cats look good.
You know what, Marcus Miller, I heard him say in an interview recently, he goes, yeah, when there's a bass solo, I don't want, like, melodic shit like everyone else's just solo just did. What's the point of that? Like, when it comes to the bass thing, that's got to be a rhythmic thing.
Wow, you know, I just read this thing. Stanley Clarke said, anybody can do a bass solo. What's really hard is writing... What's really hard is writing a good bass line. This is Mr. Stanley Clarke.
I love that man.
Yeah, after all the years. This was something recent, he said. And much respect to Mr. Miller, too.
Yeah, yeah. He got me going really early on. I was copying all, like...
School days?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. Like, I would read Bass Player magazine and just, like, all these albums you got to hear, Victor Wooten, this and that.
He had a step. This lady, I did a gig, and after the gig, this lady said she was his stepdaughter. And she said to me, you know what? You don't play bass. I said, well, I'm trying. No, she goes, what you do is you fuck the bass. Now, I want to play Ghost Stories.
Did you say tears or years? Let's just say I'm breathing, cause in the county of Colin, numbers lose their meaning. I'm a old that song. Take my series, 1894. In the noise and confusion, through lips began tossing, through my name in the hat, so I could go ashore. Started thinking in English, became a citizen. But for my marriage tradition, asked the father's permission. 50 years with one woman, 25 alone. 25 alone. Oh, I don't know how wise you get. Listen to my carry on. The three old folks claim to see that way. Wisdom is just memory with a touch of gray. A touch of gray. Never missed a rally at my union hall. Too shy to be a speaker, just a marcher, not a leader. But I left my price in Pittsburgh when the strike was called. Saved a house from the banker. The world had crashed to dust. Even an honest man was desperate. But I'll tell you a secret, we made wine in the basement, a little not much. Twice I blacked out my windows, should the bombers come. Twice the flags and the cheering turned to reason mourning. The only two times I was glad I'd had no sons. Strength is just stubbornness with a touch of.
for Pedro Show. Ghost Stories, Dan Francia. Last music for this edition. Chris Butler with Touch of Grey, his demo. Seafield, Rip Run. Out at Japan. The Leftist, Pretty Little Thing. Midwestern Medicine, who's actually from Portland, Maine. But don't tell them. Puppy Dreams. And finally, Pass It On, Dan Francia. And I didn't know this, but Dan Francia, people, made a bass album.
Yeah, I made a solo bass album.
Well, solo bass sounds like one bass.
Yeah, it was. No overdubs.
That's it. It's just one bass. Because, I had to talk about this record I did called Ball Hogger Tugboat. Oh, what? Your solo album. There's 48 other motherfuckers on there.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't really solo.
Well, yeah, I did the same shit, and honestly, I was thinking about putting like a moniker or a name or something, but we couldn't think of one. Like, the people I was playing with, they were kind of like, let's do a real band or whatever. I was like, fine, what are we going to call it? But then I ended up making the whole thing myself anyways, basically, so.
I think you get to call it shot solo if you're the shot caller.
Well, yeah.
But this bass album actually is a solo album.
Yeah. I actually played one of your bass lines on it because, at the time I had seen your group El Sonio del Mar. How do you?
El Sonio del Marinaio.
Yeah, and I love that song.
It means the sailor's dream.
Right.
So you can say that.
Song, I don't know. I forget what it's called now, but I was playing that. I was going to put it on my album.
But you got to know, Dan, though. It's different than Missing Man or Second Man, because that's not actually my band. In that band, I actually collaborate. But I found there's three ways, actually four ways to do this music trip. You take direction, you know, like with Stooges, for example. And that where you take the place of the dead guy, right? Or you take direction, like with Mike Maggetta. He's actually writing new material. This guy is kind of like a Nels Klein guitarist, Ava Mendoza.
I saw that tour.
Yeah, right. So that's, I'm taking direction, but I'm not replacing the dead guy. And then there's given direction, like me and my operas. That's usually, I put my name in there. And there's something where I give it a name, like those guys let me use Italian for a Sonia de Marinaio. And I only write a third of that stuff. It's really the guitar man, Stefano Pellia, got that thing going.
I've been thinking about that a lot. You had mentioned this
And what I think is doing all four roles is very healthy. I know our society says, no, be the boss. That's the goal of everything. Just be the boss. But you can't learn everything being the boss.
Yeah.
Because you're always getting your fucking way. Okay, so I think it's healthy to rotate the four different modes, the four different roles. I used to think it was three. Now I think it's four.
Yeah, but think about that a lot, because, like, Speed the Plow, for example, you know, this guy John basically wrote the songs. I'm, like, supporting it. Then I got my shit where it's, like, my name. And you were saying how it's good, and you learn from all of them, and how, like, the Stooges, like, you know, what you always say, like, was such an incredible classroom. And I think about that all the time, yeah. But I sometimes fill in for bands. Like, you need a bass player for a gig. Okay. Like, I've done that a couple of times, too.
Yeah, but that's more like a take direction thing.
Yeah. But it's interesting to do that as well.
But take a direction, like, for example, when Glenn Branca came to SoCal to do his Hallucination 13, and there were 64 guitars, 20 basses, one drummer.
Oh, shit, did you see that?
I was part of it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Some of those videos.
And you know what? I'm going to tell Glenn Branca how to run this fucking thing. Fuck, though. I take the direction, right? And I'm not actually replacing the dead guy. I'm actually involved in... But replacing the dead guy is interesting, too. Especially like Stooges, where you had almost everybody there except Dave Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... And then the other things, too, like Porno for Pyro with Peter Perk. Or with Jay Mascis.
Right.
Yeah. And now I got to do with Tab Falco. Oh my God! And now
I
Mike Maggetta
as well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved playing with that his music. And then when I got asked for that opportunity, anyway, about you, Dan, where can people find you on the internet?
Basically, Bandcamp, I guess. I started a Twitter and an Instagram.
But
a
there's
Facebook
no Dan Francia website yet?
Here's the thing. I'm so pro website. I had a website for the band I was in before this, and it was like my big thing, and nobody else in the band thought it mattered. And I just launched like all the other shit because I made this full-length album. I really want a website.
I mean, you can go to those other things, too. To me, it seems like just stapling flyers on other people's telephone poles. But you need your own fanzine. No filter, no middleman.
That's my issue. It's all the same shit, and everyone releases like their singles and all this stuff, and it's all through the same like avenues.
And you know those things are going to crack. And you know, Dan, those things are going to crash and burn.
True.
What was that thing called? My waste.
What
was that thing called? My waste of space place.
Yeah, MySpace.
Anyway,
I lost some albums during that crash. You heard about that, right? They crashed. They lost all these records between.
That's why we need our own fanzine. I thought it was going to relate totally from the internet. To me, it was the same ethics. It was going to relate from 70s punk fanzine to the, you know. But
oh, yeah,
I was wrong. Everybody still
great.
Wanted
I mean,
to hang
so
out
much,
at the merch places. Anyway, look, Dan, it's been a big honor to have you on the show. I can't wait for your next batch of tunes. Can we talk about it when you put it out?
All right, that sounds great. Thanks.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And in the meantime, we'll be waiting for our danfrancia.com, but it ain't here yet. So we got to go to Chitter or Instant Ham or Fake Look, right? No problem.
Yep.
No problem.
Yep.
And we'll be also seeing you come to people's aid when they need a fucking bassman or somebody to pull it out in the bottom of the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's a skill, man. They're all skills. We got to get a bigger picture thing. That's one thing life's shown me. God, we got to get a bigger picture. There's all kinds of ways to work the bass, to write the song, to deliver the good time.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
Thanks for letting me be your teammate, Dan.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks
people, it's
me.
Been July 14th, 2019 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.